humans. What a week in the United States, at least. This is raising all kinds of questions about human rights, women's rights, women's right to choose, obviously. I'm getting a lot of questions on social media about what I think about the leaked document from the Supreme Court. That alone is unprecedented, the idea that a draft decision would be leaked to the press, to Politico. And I'm sure there will be all the necessary hunting down of whether or not that came from liberals inside the court, whether it may have come from a justice or a clerk, whether it could have come from the conservative side of the court trying to make this decision a fait accompli. If you're not across it, basically, the constitutional decision, the Supreme Court decision, Roe versus Wade, that has ensured a woman's right to have an abortion for decades, it seems, is about to be overturned. I don't know whether or not that's a done deal yet. I'm not I have no special insight into the workings of the court and whether or not they could consider to wind it back. But this draft decision written by Samuel Alito certainly seems to be the writing on the wall for a conservative Christian, really, goal of the past half century to come to fruition this year. And this will be probably the biggest legacy of the Trump administration, of Trump's first term, shall we say, in case he has another. I haven't wanted to talk about this on the air on my radio show. It's not really the place for it, but I do want to share a few thoughts here. So instead of releasing our scheduled episode, which is with the extraordinary individual Kurt Fearnley, who you'll hear from next week, I thought we should just try to unwrap some of this and hopefully help you to think about it. I have long publicly held that courts are too overweighted in American democracy and that it's foolhardy to entrench rights too much in the justice system rather than in the legislative branch, which I think is where we in a democracy should come to decisions about big issues like abortion. What's scary about this decision for me, quite apart from the obvious fact that it's going to derange the lives potentially of millions and millions of American women and leave open the possibility of a future Republican administration with a Republican House and a Republican Senate conceivably imposing a ban on abortion in all states, not just the ones who choose to ban it now, is that the decision also throws into question, although it claims not to, all of the other constitutional decisions that the Supreme Court has arrived at, which are also based on the same premise in the Constitution. I mean, you know, the right to gay marriage is also obviously not written in the Constitution. It's a right that is discovered and that the Supreme Court has interpreted the 14th Amendment as implying, treating everybody equally. There are all kinds of potential ramifications if you wanted to think about the ripple effects of all this, that this court or future courts, which may yet be even more conservative, who knows, could undo. And it's a cautionary tale about what happens when conversation becomes so polarized that you start using the umpires as a way of achieving legislative victories. It's the wrong place to locate our democratic disagreements, the control of the court. I think this has been clear for some years, and now the chickens are coming home to roost. It's also worth noting that even when the legislative process is inadequate and laws are imperfect, the temperature of American democracy is so hot that it doesn't allow for the fuzzy edges that other democracies enjoy. It may sound a bit weird to say that fuzzy edges are something that you would enjoy, but there is a kind of sort of don't ask, don't tell approach to these hot button issues in a lot of other democracies that doesn't seem to exist in the US, because the moment you give anyone an inch, they will take a mile. So to articulate exactly what I mean, in the jurisdiction where I live, New South Wales, the most populated state in Australia, do you know when abortion became legal? Less than 3 years ago. Do you know how many people were getting abortions prior to that? Loads. I have two friends who have had abortions. And they certainly didn't technically meet the requirements of the law. So just to fill you in a little bit, prior to 2019 in New South Wales, abortion was explicitly listed as a crime, but the interpretation of that law was subject to a ruling, a court ruling, the Levine ruling, which held an abortion to be legal if a doctor had an honest and reasonable belief that due to any economic, social, or medical ground or reason, the abortion was necessary to, quote, preserve the woman involved from serious danger to her life or physical or mental health, which the continuance of the pregnancy would entail. Now, that language was big enough to drive a truck through or to drive thousands of abortions through, as the case may be. And if we lived in a culture which was inclined to litigate everything and to push for our rights as far as is humanly possible and to test the very limit of every word and every statute, I can fully imagine a scenario in which any one of my friends who had gotten an abortion could have told someone else who might then sue their doctor. The question of whether they'd have standing, I suppose maybe they would have to be a partner or something like that who didn't want the abortion to go ahead. But you could, you know, if you were a conservative Christian lobby group, you could certainly find such a person with whom to launch such a case. And you could say, well, hang on, what was the serious danger here? And the reality is that doctors just interpreted a serious danger to mental health as being the fact that the woman wants an abortion. And if she doesn't get it, that poses a serious danger to her mental health. Therefore, there were plenty of widely available abortions funded by the federal government, at least in part, depending on where you were. And on it went. And that was only codified into law in October of 2019, when abortions up to 22 weeks were legalized. After 22 weeks, you need two doctors' approval. That's the state in New South Wales, and now the law has caught up in every state and territory. But I just say that to point out those two points. One, there is room in a democracy for a little bit of closing our eyes to big culture war fights and just sort of allowing things to happen in the background. You could argue, make the same case against euthanasia, which, you know, physician-assisted suicide is still illegal in New South Wales. It's the only state in Australia where it is still illegal, and it still takes place sometimes in the shadows. Now, I've argued in print in the past that that should cease to be the case. We should legalize it. We should have systems in place. We should make sure that it is codified. But that's largely so that you don't have abuses of the system where it takes place without the kinds of guardrails that you would have if there was a law governing how it can be done. That's largely to appease people who are opposed to euthanasia, to ensure that you have the necessary number of doctors signing off on it, and that it only takes place under certain conditions when the person is terminally ill and there are no other options. Because at the moment, it's a wild west. Just like with the drug, with the war on drugs, you know, when you ban something entirely, it's essentially completely unregulated and you're handing it over to the black market. You're handing it over to take place in the shadows. Now, in the case of the war on drugs, I think that's a calamity. In the case of abortion prior to 2019, it just kind of puttered along and it was just kind of okay. Now, I know that's not an ideal situation. I know that women's rights activists will think that that's an abomination that I would even suggest that. I think it's good that it's now legal in New South Wales. But my point is simply that, you know, when things are very, very hot to touch, maybe it's just best not to touch them. And then the second point I would make is just that this should be located in Parliament. This should be located in Congress, either state Congresses or federal Congress, ideally state. You know, ideally people should have the right to form whatever political system they want to as close to home as they can, rather than having it far away in Washington, D.C., making rules about what goes on in Wyoming. But if Washington, D.C. is going to make rules about what's going on in Wyoming, then surely it should be the democratically elected, you know, representatives of the people who are making those rules, not a bunch of justices. I got into a chat about this a few years ago on Joe Rogan's show. As many of you will know, I've been on Joe's show 7 times since 2014, and our discussion got a bit heated. I want to play you a little bit of it here, just so you can hear Joe and me fleshing out how we think about who has standing to talk about this, to think about this, to make rules about this sort of thing. And it'll articulate better than I can right now here by myself, my thinking about this. Here is some of Joe Rogan and me from 5 years ago.
That's where it gets weird. But isn't this the life in general?
Yeah.
It's slippery.
Yeah.
There's I mean, it's like we were talking about with abortion. Like, what is it? Is it killing a baby?
Yep.
Or is it a medical procedure?
Yeah. Can we all just agree that it's both?
I don't understand
why there is, especially in this country, like, it's so, so polarizing here.
Isn't this polarizing in Europe as well?
No.
Oh, come on, man.
No.
Dawkins had tweeted something about it, that there's nothing that's people, like a human embryo was essentially the same thing as a pig embryo. It was like some ridiculous comparison to abortion.
Look, the religious right will always be crazy about the things that it's crazy about. And people will always get offended on Twitter when Richard Dawkins tweets something that's unpopular. But I still affirm that in the States, the conversation around abortion is uniquely different from the way that it is in Europe and in Australia. It's just much more of a fault line issue. And I wonder whether in hindsight it wouldn't have been better for Roe v. Wade not to actually have been decided by the Supreme Court that way.
What?
Well, just because, I don't know, people are going to hate
you don't
me for
have
this
a womb,
as well.
You fucking cisgender piece of shit.
I believe in
with
abortion.
Your surrogate mama.
I believe in abortion rights, but I don't believe that that you can find in the Constitution of the United States a right so inalienable that the Supreme Court... Like, where is it in the Constitution? The Supreme Court said there's a right to privacy, therefore there's a right to abortion because we don't want to interfere in women's affairs. But that presupposes that the embryo isn't a human. You don't have the right to privacy to kill somebody, right? I mean, if I go into a room, my right to privacy doesn't extend to me being able to get away with killing a baby. The question of whether or not it's a baby is the relevant question.
Right.
That's not addressed in Roe. So I think that it should be legal, but I think that it should be legal through the legislative process. I think that is a legitimate democratic aspiration for people to be able to. And if it means that it's not legal in Alabama because a majority of people in Alabama don't want it, I don't think the founding fathers would have a problem with that.
Well, there's a strong amount of a large amount of people that don't want men talking about this at all. That
yeah,
don't
well,
feel like you should be able
no,
to discuss
right.
this.
Yes, that is the problem.
Female,
that is one of the main problems.
It's a female issue.
In
well,
America
I can
well.
Understand a woman being upset that a man with no stake in the game is stepping up and saying that a woman should or should not be able to have an abortion.
Well, why? I mean, how do I have stake in the game of whether or not, for example, murder should be legal?
Well, okay, this is not that. This is something different. This is
no,
someone.
It's not.
If there's
it's not
like three
different.
Cells,
it's a moral
in the body,
question.
It might be to you, but it might not be to them. If it's just happening, like, okay, here's the morning after pill.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same as an abortion?
I don't care because I don't think there's anything wrong with abortion.
Because you can't get
pregnant. No, I don't think there's anything wrong with abortion.
But sure there is. If it's a 9-month-old baby, the baby's in there and it's about to come out the next day, you decide to open her up and stab it in the head?
This is what I'm arguing for, is a kind of incrementalism, which you were just alluding to, right? It's not a black or white thing. Why can't we all appreciate that it's both? Because it's become so polarized in the United States that both positions are bullshit. And people on both sides know that both positions are bullshit. It's bullshit to say that it is just a women's health issue and has no ethical implications whatsoever, even if, as you say, you're talking about cutting a woman open at 9 months and stabbing the embryo in the head. It's also bullshit to say that the instant an egg is fertilized, that is a person that should have all of the rights to life that an adult should have, and that it's murder to kill a blastocyst that's smaller than the size of the head of a pin.
Right. It's
both of those positions are stupid. This is an incremental situation. Life evolves, it grows, a fetus grows, it becomes a human being. I mean, Peter Singer, the great philosopher, also an Australian, says that under certain conditions, infanticide, the killing of babies, should be legal and could be ethical.
Well, he's an animal nut. He loves animals more than
he loves
people.
Yeah, but he makes a legitimate point, which is that, you know, why does it make a difference one day after the baby is born? Suppose you've got a premature baby that's born, you know, 4 weeks early. In fact, now we can already make babies survive at right around the point of viability, which is where abortion is still on the fringe of. So say you've got a 22 or 23, 24 week old baby, not week old baby after birth, but, you know, timing from the moment of inception, conception. That could live outside the womb.
Right.
But the moment it gets born, it becomes murder to kill it. But you could have killed exactly the same organism with exactly the same future and exactly the same prospects and exactly the same life if it was inside the womb.
In
and then
certain
it would have,
states.
Right? Well, with, under Roe v. Wade, I'm not talking about late term. I'm talking about the point
of
viability.
Does Roe v. Wade state a viability time?
It's been interpreted as being like that 20 to 24 week.
But does it specifically say that?
I don't know whether or not that comes out of the actual ruling where they were writing it in Roe v. Wade, but I do know that that is the way that it's been interpreted by lower courts since then. But maybe they actually spelled out the number of weeks. Either way, you know, he's pointting to a legitimate conundrum, a sort of moral hypocrisy on both sides of this.
It's a very complicated, slippery issue. It's not simple black or white.
Right, and the idea that we shouldn't be allowed to think and talk about the moral quandary of this because we can't have babies.
Well, I'm not agreeing.
I think it's silly.
I'm not agreeing to that.
No, I know.
But I'm saying that is an argument that women want to take because they feel like there's this unjust sort of male dominance on the female reproductive system.
Look, when I see a bunch of white men, white old men, sitting in Congress making rules against women, predominantly young women of color, who are in areas that have the least amount of access
what
to
do you
safe
mean
and legal.
Predominantly women of color. How so?
Because safe legal abortions are more difficult to obtain in places like rural Alabama than they are in places like New York City.
Yeah, but there's a lot of white people in rural Alabama. I don't necessarily think it's a racial issue as much as a poverty issue.
Yeah,
especially like things like Planned Parenthood and shutting down Planned Parenthoods. They're just going to affect people that don't have much money.
Yep, who are disproportionately people of color as well.
Disproportionately in terms of the actual numbers of human beings, or percentage wise,
right,
but the actual numbers of human beings, it's not
right. But you can understand how it would look bad if
you're
a black woman.
I just think that when you add people of color to that, it accentuates the issue and makes it even more problematic. It makes it more of a big left wing progressive issue, right? That can't be argued against.
Do you think the optics
discrimination against people of color? Oh, don't want to do that. It's people.
Yeah,
it's human beings.
But do you think that the optics would look as bad if all of the old white men who were writing the laws were black?
I think it all looked bad.
I don't think it would look as bad.
Hold on a second. You're saying that if old white men make these issues, it doesn't look as bad?
No, I'm saying it
looks
as bad as possible. It looks worse.
Than if
worst
old
thing
black
you can
men were making this issue against all poor people?
Yeah, because old white men just seem to drip privilege because every single checkbox they've got going for them. They're both male, they're white, and they're old.
This is a very tortured argument.
I think you understand, Clarence Thomas,
you don't think it looks weird when Clarence Thomas votes against abortion?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so there you go.
But I mean, my point is simply, I take the optics as being a bad thing. I think the optics are worse if it's white people than if it's black people, but I'm happy to yield that point, to concede that point if that's a sticking one. The point is, we have to be able to have conversations about anything without allowing our identities to prevent us from being able to think.
I agree with you about the conversation.
That I came on this show was because I was getting into an argument with an activist about whether or not I had a right to have an opinion about whether or not Stephen Colbert had been racist, right? And she was claiming that I didn't have a right to have a conversation about it because I'm a white man.
Well, that was just the way she tried to get out of the argument. You know, the whole thing before that was her not understanding the joke. And she didn't want to own up to the fact that she didn't understand the joke. And then when you sort of explained it to her, she was using the "you as a white man" thing to try to deny your opinion.
But don't you think it happens all the time? I mean, I think this is exactly what you're saying.
I think we're both on the same page here in that I think we both agree that you should absolutely be able to have a conversation about this. The question is, should a man be able to decide what a woman can and can't do with her body? And should we be able to make the laws?
But you just smuggled in the term "with her body."
Well, it is a baby if it's a blastocyst, and it is in her body.
Right. If it's a blastocyst,
isn't that in her body?
Right.
So that is a decision. We're talking about that. So when it gets to be an embryo or a fetus, along the way,
Somewhere along the way, it ceases to be just her body.
But an unrelated male human being, when should that person be able to make a decision? And should a male human being be able to make a decision at all? Because if you can make a decision about the embryo or a fetus, can you make it about the blastocyst? Like, when can you decide? And why should a man be able to make that decision in the first place?
Because he's got a brain as well. And we're all
talking about controlling someone's body. You are talking about controlling a body.
No, we're talking...
A woman with a blastocyst inside of her. You tell her she can't take care of that blastocyst and remove it. She must make it viable and bring it to birth.
We're talking about when a Homo sapien comes into existence. That's a philosophical and ethical question.
No, it's not. If you're framing it as being a woman's body. No, because we're talking about the rights. Giving someone a right or stopping them and controlling them.
Yeah.
If you're talking about a blastocyst inside a woman's body, and you're a man, and you decide, you don't even know this woman, you decide... By your moral argument and judgment, she should not be able to terminate that blastocyst. Then you are deciding what she can do with her body.
No, you're deciding what she can do to the blastocyst.
It's in her body.
Yeah, it's inside her body, sure. It's also inside her body when it's 9 months old.
So you're saying a man, unrelated man, should be able to have input on whether a woman should be able to terminate a blastocyst?
No,
I'm
saying that the democratic institutions of the state should be able to decide that.
I'm not talking about democratic institutions. We're talking very specifically about a man
being able to decide. Well, if it's a dictatorship, then I don't agree with it.
Well,
I think this is something that people ought to be able to vote on, yes. I personally, again, favor abortion rights. But I don't think that the gender of the person who is voted into power by the voting public is relevant in terms of whether or not the voting public thinks that embryos are human beings.
But you don't think
I don't think that embryos have a right to life. But I don't think that it makes sense to say that an embryo is just the woman's body.
We're not talking about an embryo. We're talking about the entire process, right? The entire process of conception to birth, and that somewhere along the line.
I mean, what are you arguing? Are you arguing that if there are males in positions of power in Congress, that they should have to abstain from ruling? Should the male justices on the Supreme Court have to abstain from voting on abortion cases?
I'm arguing that it's problematic when a man decides, who cannot get pregnant, decides when a baby is actually a baby.
So should men not be allowed to vote for...
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying...
For candidates that are anti-abortion?
Don't you think it's problematic that a guy should decide whether, like, say if you're a hardcore right-wing Christian.
Yeah, I've already said it looks bad. Like,
not
it,
just
the
looks,
optics
but
is...
Fuck looks, man.
But like, what does like problematic just, mean other than looks?
Well, it's not, it's a huge issue. It's not looks. It's a huge issue that someone who cannot get pregnant decides that another human being that they're totally unrelated to can't make the decision that five cells that have bundled together must be brought to life.
They think that those five cells are a person.
Well, they don't even know this chick.
I mean, you're just a lot of cells.
They don't
We're
even know
cells.
This person. They don't know this person. Why should they have any power over this person?
And well, why should they have any power over determining whether or not...
When are they controlling a person's body, and when are they saving a baby?
Well, that's precisely the question, isn't it?
Right. That is the question.
Should a male have the right to determine whether or not a woman can murder her newborn baby?
It's a good question. I say no.
At least you're consistent.
Yeah. I don't think
what
that
if
you
the
should
baby's
be able
1 year
to,
old?
I don't think anybody should be able to murder a baby. I don't think a man should have the right. I think we society as a society
no,
collectively.
No. I thought you were just saying that you think that a man should not be able to prevent a mother from killing her baby.
No, I said that wrong. Okay. What I mean is no.
Because that is what you're saying with regard to abortion. You're saying that a man should not have the right to prevent a woman from killing her baby.
This is a very odd conversation when we interrupt each other. It's not going to work.
Okay.
I know what you're saying. And I know that you're saying that we should all have a stake in this. We should all be able to discuss this. I just think that when you talk about, like, especially like a blastocyst eventually becoming an embryo, we have to agree in some way, shape, or form that you and I don't have a stake in it. We're not going to get pregnant.
No,
it's a
that's
way
right.
It's a way bigger issue for a woman than it is for a man.
Yes.
So we agree.
We agree that it's a way bigger issue for a
and
woman than it is for a man.
That you should be able to discuss it.
I just think
we both agree that you should be able to discuss
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean,
and
my
you should be able to
where
have
I'm coming
this
from here,
weird
Joe,
debate.
Where I'm coming from here is that I feel like we use identity politics to deprive other people of standing to discuss questions that are actually universal because they're moral questions.
Right.
And I think we all have... One thing that I try to do as much as possible is understand where people who I disagree with are coming from. And I know you do that as well. So I am pro-abortion rights. But in order for me to understand where people who detest abortion are coming from, it's necessary for me to make the sort of leap of empathy and logic into their camp and see things from the way that they see them, which is that the instant an egg is fertilized, for them that becomes a sacred question of a new life, where it's no longer about the woman's body. It's now a moral and ethical question that we're all involved in, because we're all involved in what our culture is allowed to do and who it's allowed to kill and how it's allowed to kill them. So it becomes a bit more like a death penalty question, where you might say, well, I'm never going to be up for the death penalty because I'm never going to do anything that would put me on death row. So what standing do I have to be in favor or against the death penalty? That's sort of a moot question. Like, we're all in this society together. We all have to figure out what's right and wrong. And if we've got a brain, we should have conversations about what's good or bad. And the fact that I'm unlikely to be in a specific scenario doesn't actually really give me less standing to have a conversation about it, or even to write laws about it if people vote me into a position where I can write laws about it.
Well, I certainly think it does when you're talking about a blastocyst. I certainly think it does when you talk about the argument of conception and when something becomes alive.
So there you have it, Joe and me arguing, two white guys arguing about abortion 5 years ago. Look, my thoughts are with all women in America, especially who are trying to process this and trying to think about what this means for you and your kids and your grandkids. I hope that this doesn't open the door to the Supreme Court then striking down a whole bunch of rights that people have heretofore been taking for granted on the basis that they were unjustly decided. But that is the risk that you pose when you fail to legislate these things as a community through your elected representatives and leave them in the hands of the courts. You never know how that court is going to be comprised. Now, the counterpoint to that is, of course, you never know what a future government is going to do either. So up until now, I think a lot of left-wing people have thought that the Supreme Court is more stable and more of a guarantor of rights than the whims of a democratic mob are. But this just goes to show that when the Supreme Court does shift its balance of power, that can then have implications that all of a sudden send shockwaves through the whole demos and the whole way that society thinks that it is structured in terms of what it can and can't do with the hottest button culture war issues. You have to be able to find ways of litigating these things in the place where they are supposed to be litigated in a democracy, which is in the democratic chamber itself. America's is broken. America has all kinds of problems. I mean, the filibuster is a problem. The undemocratic representation in the Senate is a problem, where you have, you know, a small minority of human beings in the smallest states holding the balance of power and carrying as much weight as such large populations in the big liberal states. You have the electoral college system, which itself is undemocratic. America needs democratic reform. America needs fundamental democratic reform to its institutions. You need a reform of the way that the Senate does its business. You need a reform of the norms about exactly how these things should get resolved. It's a schmozzle, frankly. That's the technical term for it. It's a schmozzle. And you've got calls now from people on the left for Joe Biden to stack the court, to add, you know, an additional two or four justices to the court. That would be nuclear. I mean, yes, look, what Mitch McConnell did at the end of Donald Trump's term by, quickly allowing Donald Trump to appoint a new Supreme Court justice after having said at the end of Obama's term that, the end of a president's term is not a time to be able to do so, and holding up the appointment that Obama rightly should have gotten for 9 months. All of that was abysmal, but it was an abysmal breach of unwritten codes to actually rewrite the Supreme Court and pile in more justices. Would be, I think, the beginning of a monumental political and cultural war in the United States, the likes of which we haven't seen since the early 1960s. And I'm not sure that that's the way to go. I can't tell you how to do business, America, but at some point the left has to realize that with the way the system is, even though it's rigged against you, you're still losing. You're still losing way too much. And you're going to lose again this year in the midterm elections. And the Biden administration is going to massively lose the House of Representatives. And you've got to figure out why. I'm not going to go on a rant now about cancel culture and wokeness and all of the distractions that the left is playing around with, but something that the left is doing in America is not resonating with the heartland, and you need the heartland to win. And you need to win to get lasting change in the place where the change matters, and that is Congress and the White House. It shouldn't always be, it never has been, the Supreme Court. Have a wonderful week. I'll be back with regular programming next week. Take care. Continue to strive as best you can to have conversations that are civil, but as much as possible, uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable Conversations is produced by Stefan Postuma. Follow me, Josh Sepps, on Twitter and Instagram for all the latest. May your day be fruitful, your mind humble, your enemies generous, and your conversations perfectly, sparklingly, delectably uncomfortable.